The Lighthouse Retirement Hour is brought to you by Martin D. Parlato & Associates, LLC, a Florida-registered investment advisory firm with your host, Martin Parlato. Firm number 147403 and only conducts business in states where registered or exempt from registration. Information presented on this program is believed to be factual and up-to-date, but we do not guarantee its accuracy, and it should not be regarded as a complete analysis of the subjects discussed. Discussions and answers of questions does not and is not intended to constitute the rendering of personal investment advice, but is limited to the dissemination of general information. A professional investment advisor should be consulted prior to implementing any of the information discussed. The subject matter discussed on this show represents the political, personal opinions, and personal financial opinions of Martin D. Parlato or other attributed authors and sources, either in whole or excerpts. Financial opinions are based upon the research undertaken by Mr. Parlato or purchased by Mr. Parlato and may not be suitable for your particular investment needs. Always remember that investing in the stock market involves risk, and we do not guarantee a profit or protection against losses unless you decide to purchase products designed for that purpose. You should carefully consider your risk tolerance, time horizon, and financial objectives before making investment decisions. By investing, you run the risk of losing money or losing buying power. Risk can be classified into many different categories, and by knowing those categories, you can better manage expectations and avoid or reduce certain kinds of risk. For even more information about investment risk, see FINRA's webpage about managing investment risk or send us an email request through our website and we will forward the link to you without obligation. Now, sit back and enjoy today's show with your host, Martin Parlato.
And welcome back, Jacksonville, the beaches, St. Augustine, Orange Park, Middleburg, Green Cove, Fleming Island, Amelia Island, Daytona. You guys down at the Villages playing pickleball. Welcome back to this production of the Lighthouse Retirement Hour for Sunday, July 16th, 2017. Let's find out how the stock market really works. As I write this part of the show for you, as I wrote this part of the show for you, it was Friday morning around 7 o'clock in the morning, and former Microsoft CEO Steve Ballmer was on CNBC. Now, I think there's a reason, really. I think there's a reason that A, Microsoft stagnated and nearly died under his control, and B, has seen a meteoric rebound since his retirement. Can you say moron? Can you say moron? If you're Steve Ballmer, former CEO of Microsoft, I guess it was good to be Bill Gates' best friend after the government got done running him over the coals. I guess it was good to be his best friend. But the more I see of Steve Ballmer in retirement, the more it reinforces my comments to you young kids out there just starting out, you skulls full of mush just graduating from high school, all hopped up on pot and other drugs, you morons dropping out of junior college, you guys out there. When I see Steve Ballmer, now that he's in retirement, it just convinces me of one thing. You can do it. You can be filthy rich, too. Because I got news for you. If Steve Ballmer can be the CEO of Microsoft, you guys can do anything you want. J.P. Morgan, this Friday morning, is out with earnings, and they sounded pretty good on the surface, but I guess they were not good enough for the stock market. Shares were down pre-market and continued to be down most of the morning until I quit looking. I'll try to catch up on their conference call later this morning, but I thought the numbers were pretty good. As I awake this morning, there's still no beautiful health care plan awaiting to be signed by the president who's sitting in the White House with his pen. I want to talk with you, some of you listeners. I just want to carve this is a very targeted show. This show is very targeted. It's precise. I only want to talk to you people from Maine and you people from New Hampshire. What's wrong with you people? How is it you folks from Maine continually elect Susan Collins, who is nothing but a pure whack job, if not medically ill? And how is it that you guys in New Hampshire can elect a guy named Chris Sununu, son of Governor Sununu, John Sununu? Chris Sununu, with absolutely no other qualifications than his politically connected father. How is it that these two personalities who are on CNBC this morning, how is it you guys come to the decision that you make to elect these two morons? All right, back to the rest of the world. Anyway, I'm in the grasp of a major conundrum. I told you about this on part one of the show. A major conundrum. And is there any other kind of conundrum? No, there's only major conundrums. I spent last night, Thursday night, binging. As I'm recording this show on Friday, so last night was Thursday. I spent last night binging on the Netflix show Bloodline, and I have a conundrum. I'm down to 5 remaining episodes out of 30-plus. And so here is my problem. And I really want you to help me out with this, because this binging thing is kind of new to me. I haven't really done it since back in the 70s when or 80s when Dallas was on. Should I spread these last 5 remaining episodes out, like one? Should I limit myself to 1 a day, or should I go ahead and just binge right through them and get them over with, and then go try and find something else to watch? I don't know. I was never very good with this idea of binging. Even when I had Halloween candy, I used to just pig out and I would gobble it up all before my 5 brothers and sisters or 4 brothers and sisters could get any of it because, you know, it was just a pig. Maybe I should confine myself to watching CNN or Fox News or Anderson Cooper or The 5 Idiots or Tucker Bormy or Sean Repeat Yourself all night long. And maybe the politics of it all really won't matter. Maybe I should just go ahead and binge and get it over with. I don't know. You guys let me know. But whatever you do, don't tell me how it ends. Because right now, we're already out of a family of 3 kids. 2 of them are murderers. Maybe I should have said spoiler alert. Anyway, let's try and make some money because we just can't fix stupid in Washington. I have a great show for you today. I hope you find a way to make a little bit of money from the time you invest with me each week. It's all coming your way right here on part 2 of the Lighthouse Retirement Hour for Sunday morning, July 16th, 2017. But first, you must pay the exorbitant price of admission to today's show. You must agree to allow me to plug my wealth and investment management firm, and you must agree to at least consider making an appointment to consider becoming our next great client. A one-on-one personal meeting with me will certainly be the most interesting meeting you make all week, and it may be the most important thing you do for your investment and retirement accounts all year. I am Martin Parlato. The name of my firm is Martin D. Parlato & Associates. We are a registered investment advisory firm and do business as Lighthouse Retirement. My website is lighthouseretirement.com. We're a local firm, not some national marketing firm. This is, at its core, a money show that combines money news and politics because I believe that politics affects your money. Our singular business goal is helping you try and make more money in the stock market by becoming a more informed investor and hopefully allowing you to prosper and prepare for your own retirement. There's no magic to what I do, just diligence, hard work, some research. We always put your interest ahead of our own. We never accept a commission on any securities that we offer, and sometimes we just get lucky. This show only works for us both, though, if you decide to consider becoming our next great client. If you like my thoughtful approach to investing in the stock market, the stock news, and the information that I bring to you each week, then I think we should meet in person. Here's how you guys can reach out to me personally today. to reach me in Jacksonville, the beach of St. Augustine, Orange Park, Fleming Island, Middleburg, Amelia Island, Daytona, the villages, all of the surrounding areas, you guys can call me today or during the week at 904-234-8080. I've made it easy to make a complimentary meeting with me in person without any charge or obligation. You can either call me after the show today or during the week, or you can zip over to the website, lighthouseretirement.com. Most pages, you're going to find a blue button that reads, click to schedule your own meeting. Just click it. You pick the day. You pick the time. I'll send you a map and directions to the office, a list of documents to consider bringing. I'll get you set up on the Gemini Private Client Portal. I'll send you the onboarding questionnaire. And bada bing, bada boom, when you get to the office, we can talk about anything you want to talk about. We can talk about politics. We can talk about Netflix. We can talk about money or stocks or bonds. We can talk about anything you want to talk about. We can talk about how great the Jaguars are going to be this week. And I want to, as long as I'm doing this, I want to take a minute. I'm going to take a minute. This is going to be an unabashedly shameless. This is going to be shameless. It's going to be an unabashedly shameless attempt to try and get a new client. I want a Jacksonville Jaguar client. I do. I really do. I'm going to say it. I've been reading all these articles. I sent an article out to my clients the other day about some football player that was scammed out of $15 million by his so-called advisor. I don't know how that can happen. I don't even know how that's I don't even know how to do it. If I wanted to steal $15 million of my client's money, I don't know how I would do it. But I do want to say, as you guys are getting your big fat contracts and the first payday is actually beginning to show up, if you're a young guy, a rookie, I know. We are not the biggest players in any market. We're not up there with your sports managers. We're with your agent. We're not up there. We're not in the big leagues yet. But if any of you Jaguars, you rookies, Blake Bortle, I mean, because let's face it, Blake, the numbers you're putting up are near rookie-like. If you guys want to come talk to me about your money and see if we can do better than some other folks, I'd sure like to have a Jaguar on my client roster. I know. It was a shameful, gratuitous request. But you know, I've invested a lot of time in your team. I go to a lot of, I watch the games. I go to the games. I read the website. Don't like the black print. I read the website every day. I mean, I got the Jaguars icon on my homepage. I think I deserve to have at least 5 Jaguars players on my list of clients. And I got to tell you, this is top secret. This is top secret. But some of my secret questions, like to the banking questions and websites, some of the secret answers is Jaguars. I am a dedicated Jaguar fan. I was the only one that believed. I still got my 1995 GMC Yukon teal. Same Jaguars color, teal. Which I could probably sell for a lot more than I thought I could sell it for. But, I mean, every time somebody sees that vehicle, they want to buy. I digress. This was I owe you guys an apology. A client came in this week, and he wanted to talk to me about fixed income. He had a lot of money, almost $1 million sitting in fixed income. And he says to me, Marty, you don't talk about fixed income enough. And I said, well, there's a reason for it. And he says, what's that? And I said, it bores me, and I like to make more money. He said, but Marty, don't you think fixed income is an important part of investing? Now, I had a couple of choices at that point. At one point, I said to myself, self, you need to go into your library, into your home, into the library, and take down all those books off the shelf and see if any of them say that fixed income is an important part of investing for retirement. But then I said to myself, well, Marty, you've already passed all those tests. You obviously know the answers. So you know the answer is that the book is going to tell you that fixed income is an important part of your retirement assets. But then the reality is we own so little of it, you might conclude that I disagree with the books. But it turns out that I do owe you an apology for not spending more time and talking with you about fixed income. I've avoided it for nearly 7 years on this show that we've been on the radio because, frankly, I think it's boring. And more importantly, for 9 years now, there has been a single player in the marketplace arguing against owning fixed income. You would say, well, who could that be, Marty? Who could be so stupid as to say that fixed income should not be part of your retirement? Well, the Federal Reserve. For 9 years now, the Federal Reserve has been trying to force us into equities and out of bonds and out of fixed income because they believe that they need to reflate our economy. Warren Buffett says I'm right. Warren Buffett said, what, a month ago? Warren Buffett said basically, not basically, Warren Buffett said, quote, you have to be stupid to own fixed income. And since I know where this show is going, and since I know that I got a phone call right before I got to the end of the show, I'm going to throw annuities in there with it, especially indexed annuities and variable annuities. So I want to spend some time today focusing on parts of the fixed income spectrum. And when you do that, you can explain to some clients pretty clearly that there's absolutely no reason for most of you to own annuities, nor for most of you to own fixed income. Ken Fisher makes the comment in his TV commercials, and I referenced Ken not because I think his performance is good, but only because he's the largest, he's recognized as the best marketer in the financial industry. Now, I've been looking for years to find out what Ken Fisher's actual performance is. I've never been able to find it. I think I know vaguely. I think I know with near certainty how he manages money. But I can never find his performance. But hey, you're not going to be able to find my performance because we don't offer model portfolios. So my guess is maybe he doesn't offer my, I'd sure like to know. If you guys want to call me up and show me a Ken Fisher portfolio, I would absolutely like to see a Ken Fisher portfolio. But Ken Fisher says on his most recent commercial that there's very nearly nothing you can do with an annuity that you can't do with something else that's less restrictive and potentially better than indexed annuities. And so I thought we'd look at fixed income this week, and I want to share appropriate credit to Bill Gross, now of Janus, formerly of PIMCO. This week, a client asked me to reprice a bond ladder that I had created for them back in, I don't know, 2007, 2008, maybe 2009. I don't remember exactly when I did it. Back then, they had come into my office and they said, Marty, we've seen and heard all about these annuities that are being advertised on the radio, on TV, in the magazines. We have some money, and we want to buy an annuity. What do you think? And I said, ooh, it'd be great. Let's sell some annuities. Let's make a big old commission. But even then, I knew that my future and your future lay not in the fear that compelled us to buy fixed income and compelled us to buy annuities with guarantees, but it better lay in trying to understand how money works and how economics works. And so we did not sell this client any form of annuity. I said to them, I'm going to create with parts of your money a bond ladder for you, and with the other parts of your money, I'm going to invest it in certain stocks and other investments. Now, I could have used bond funds, but I got to be honest with you. I don't get bond funds. I don't like to stare into an abyss and try to look down inside and see what's in the hole. I prefer to know and own what I know. That's what I prefer to do. My personal preference. You may be different. I proposed a portfolio for them that is provided for their substantial income requirements, based on the amount of money they've got. What they take out on an annualized basis is far, far, far more than the 4% safe return recommended by most financial planners and advisors and computer programs and what you would find in most of the textbooks. And throughout the time that we've had this client, we have far exceeded their expectations. And frankly, one of the reasons that we exceeded their expectations was my preference for individual bonds versus bond funds. And the other reason was because I do not ascribe to some traditional asset allocation theory, such as someone in their 70s should have 70% of their portfolio in fixed income and the remaining 30 in other investments. Or if you're 60, you should have 60% of your portfolio in fixed income and the other 40 in some other investments. I don't ascribe to that theory. And I don't even think it's any theory. I'm not sure that it's a theory with any basis in fact. I think it's kind of a lazy thing, like a watch pot never boils. And I cook a lot of pasta, so I can tell you that a watch pot does indeed boil. But nonetheless, you'll always hear a watch pot doesn't boil. So I'm not sure there's anything to this idea that your age corresponds with the amount of equity allocation versus bond allocation that you should have. And I'm not sure that the 4% safe withdrawal rule has any real basis in fact either. Now, well, Marty, I've run Monte Carlo simulations, and those simulations say that 4% is the blah, 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 blah. Okay, give me a Monte Carlo simulation. I know simulation. I'm not stupid. I wasn't born yesterday. The nuns raised me well. You give me a bunch of squiggly lines that represent, then put the word Monte Carlo simulation on the top, and I got news for you. It's like listening to the Democrats and the Republicans. It's like listening to Sean Hannity's show. My eyes just glaze over. But I can understand some things, right? I can understand a lot of things. I can understand the dividend that AT&T pays. I can understand the growth of an Apple or the growth of a Google or of a Tesla. I'm a humble guy. I'm a humble man. I'm a Jaguars fan. I've learned to be humble. But last week they wanted me to reprice these bonds that I had sold them 7 or 8 years ago. Now, since we originally sold them to them, some of the bonds have been called away. What does that mean? Make a meeting, I'll tell you. But some of them have been called away. But what was left were 8 or 9 or 10 positions. I don't remember how many it was. But the client and their family, and mostly their kids, you know, the kids are, oh, why are you dealing with a guy like, why aren't you dealing with Northern Trust, or why aren't you dealing with Morgan Stanley or Merrill Lynch? They got accounts at Morgan. They got accounts at Northern Trust. They like me better. You need to find out if these bonds are really doing as well as you think they are, because you're taking a lot of money out of these portfolios. How do we know that's sustainable? So they came over and they said, Marty, I need you to reprice these bonds. I just want to verify that what they say on my statement is an accurate reflection of their actual worth. And I want you to verify that we're still getting the dividends that we were promised. And so I did. There's a couple of things here, and I have like, I'm halfway through the show. So I'm going to add, I've already been ad-libbing both shows. First of all, you have to know how bonds are priced, okay? how bonds are priced. If you think buying and selling stocks is risky, the more savage of the two markets, right? Like the really smart people are not in the stock business. The really, 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 really brainiacs, the really smart guys, they're in the bond business. Okay? There are levels of bond selling and trading that I can barely contemplate, and that you certainly cannot contemplate. But there are, if you can restrain yourself to only using those aspects of the business that you're really good at and that you understand well, there's plenty of room there to accomplish a whole lot of things. But the bond market, and the reason you don't hear the kid at Fidelity, the kid at Vanguard, the guy on the radio before me, the guy on the radio after me, the guy on the radio yesterday, the reason you don't hear them talking about bonds is they're really hard to get right. They're really, really hard to get right. And so they just tell you, okay, buy a bond fund. Go to Bill Gross, buy a bond fund, and call it a day. And for a lot of you, if you believe that you just have to have 6 or 10 or 20 or 30% of your portfolio in bonds, maybe that's good enough. But if you want to use bonds as a really important part of your portfolio, as this client did, I think you need to look at bonds totally differently. So I digress. So we had sold him these bonds nearly 7 or 8 years ago. I went to my bond trading screen, and I put out a request for quotes on a bond, on these bonds, and I put it all on a spreadsheet, and I was impressed. I was impressed that after these 7 or 8 years of the client receiving all of the interest payments that were promised, in addition to that, it was at the time those bonds were yielding close to 8%. I'm surprised that he's gotten that almost 8% month after month, quarter after quarter. But as we sit here today, the bonds that we bought are actually worth more money than they were when we bought them. All of that money still sitting in their portfolio. So it couldn't have been more than 15 minutes after I wrote this part that I get a call from a client who's considering whether to surrender an indexed annuity. And now that we have these new Department of Labor rules, I'm even more careful than I was before. And so I've adopted with these index annuities an I don't give a damn approach. I don't give a damn whether you keep it, and I don't give a damn whether you sell it. What I am going to do is I'm going to tell you everything that you need to know about it that I can think that you need to know. I'm going to give you an opportunity to speak with the annuity company to see if they know anything about the product that they sell. And then when you get done, you should have every bit of information that you need for you to make whatever the hell decision you want to make. But I agree with Ken Fisher. There's very nearly nothing that you should do or can do in these indexed and variable annuities that you cannot do outside these annuities, with less restrictions, with less cost, with more liquidity. I'm trying to get into this idea of bonds, corporate bonds, municipal bonds, taxable municipal bonds even. Marty, why would anybody want taxable municipal bonds? Because they have a higher yield. When we started this process with this client, I thought it was going to be difficult to achieve for them the kind of yields that they needed. They needed, in 5 or 6 years ago, whatever it was, 7 or 8%. To get those kinds of yields today, 7 or 8% in a corporate bond, you're going to have to hold your nose and buy some seriously out-of-favor bonds. For example, one place that you could find a bond that's going to yield 7 or 8% is in the energy sector. Well, what kind of company is going to yield 7 or 8% in a bond? It's going to be a company that's having or that's experiencing pain. The question is that pain permanent or is that pain passing? So if you've got a company whose revenue comes from selling oil, and that revenue is affected by the price of oil, it could be higher revenue as oil prices go higher and lower revenue as prices go lower. As prices go lower, the price that they're going to have to pay you in the form of a bond coupon goes up. You're going to say, well, oil prices are down. Oil prices look like oil's going to zero. So, Noble Energy, you have to pay me 10%. You have to pay a bond. If you want to borrow money from me, you're going to have to pay me 10%. Well, the good thing about that is that if you have a sound company, and if you can conclude, that this oil thing will pass, that prices will someday go back up in the oil industry, if you can conclude that this company's credit is sound, that their business prospects are sound, that they're not likely to go out of business, that they have a high credit rating or a decent credit rating, you might say to yourself, you know what, I'm going to hold my nose and buy that bond because things will get better. And two things happen, or at least one thing happens when those prices get better. If they don't go out of business and they don't default, they're going to keep paying you that 10% yield. But as the fundamentals of their industry change, as oil prices go higher, maybe they get bought out by Exxon or something like that, the value of that bond can rise in value. So maybe you paid $110 for that bond, and maybe tomorrow it's worth $120. I use those big numbers for exaggeration purposes. But that can happen. And that's kind of what we did with this client looking back 7 or 8 years. We said to them, look, most of what they bought in their case were corporate bonds or municipal bonds, non-taxable or taxable municipal bonds, but they were bought inside of her IRA, so we didn't care about the tax consequence. And we said to them back then, these municipalities, because of the 2007-2008 financial crisis, these municipalities are having a hard time. Their credit rating has gone down. But some of these were jails, for example. There was a bond for jail. Prisons very rarely go out of business, right? And just like the rest of America, these towns, these municipalities have recovered dramatically since that time. So the credit quality of these bonds has gotten better, the price of the bond has gotten better, and the municipalities have been able to make the interest payment that they were required to make, and the clients received all of their interest payments. What we also did with this client is try to explain to the client back then that despite the fact that you guys were both in your 70s, you can't come in here, or you shouldn't come in here, saying, well, I'm 70 years old. I need 70% of my money in fixed income. Because you're still not going to make, even at 7 or 8% on the amount of money that they had, that's not going to make enough money for you to satisfy your demand for income. And so if you'll do what I was proposing then, and that is to say that you can combine some bonds, which may go up over time, with some individual stocks and securities that the Federal Reserve was purposefully trying to drive higher, you can find yourself in the best of both worlds. And that's kind of what happened. It kind of worked out exactly the way the Federal Reserve wanted it to work out. And because I knew then what the Federal Reserve was trying to do, this was an easy call for me. But it wasn't in any of those textbooks in my library in my home. It's not there. This is not there. The way that we did this is we had to individually pick these bonds. We had to believe, and we used our bond desk, we had to believe that we knew the credit quality of these municipalities and things were going to get better and the bonds would be safe. And then we had to know the stocks that we wanted to buy. Right? And you might just assume for yourself that one of those stocks was Apple. And if you assume that we bought it 7 years ago, and you see where it is now, you might say, hey, that probably worked out pretty well for that client. And so we get back to this idea that just because you're 70 and some guy at Raymond James or Vanguard or Merrill or Morgan or Northern Trust or Goldman says, hey, you're 70, 70% of your money needs to be in a bond portfolio, or you're 60, 60% of your money needs to be in a bond portfolio, or you're sitting at work in a 401k or a TSP or an IRA, and oh, you're 55, so 45% of your money has to be in bonds, or 55 has to be in bonds. There's no real reality to, you know who started that story? Well, the bond mutual funds did, of course, because why else? Why else, other than some ridiculous arbitrary rule, would anyone own fixed income or bonds today? Warren Buffett said, you have to be stupid to be invested in fixed income. Not me, Warren Buffett. Check the record.
You have dreams, big ideas. And you'll finally have time to do them. You're not stopping. You're starting something new. We provide advice for people like you. We know retirement is a lifestyle change, so we'll show you how to manage the assets you've saved over the years. Our reputation is built on working with people who want to make the most out of their lives at every age. We'll help you clarify and prioritize your financial goals. We'll quantify where you are now, define where you want to be, and when. Then, based on our knowledge and experience, we'll offer recommendations to help you get there. We'll provide you with your own personal financial website. Here, you can see everything you own, all in one place. A private and secure location where your data is consolidated into one clear picture of you. Your personal website makes getting organized simple. It's easy to connect with all your accounts. As the markets change throughout the day, your balances recalculate to keep you up to date. To stay on track, you can create a budget, view your spending habits, monitor cash flow, and see your bottom line at any time. Interactive workshops show you how your investment and spending decisions today can impact lifetime cash flow, affect your retirement, and influence your financial goals. You can even collaborate with us online in real time. There's a digital vault where all your important documents can be stored for safekeeping and accessed from anywhere. We provide you with up-to-date data so you can evaluate your options. And with a click, print out reports to see your complete financial picture. You've built your nest egg over time. You've earned the right to enjoy the rewards of your life's efforts. Let us show you how. That's what we do, and we do it well.
To reaching in Jacksonville, the beaches of St. Augustine, Orange Park, Middleburg, Amelia Island, Fleming Island, Daytona, the Villages, you can call me today or during the week at 904-234-8080. I was just telling Jesse, I said, you got to go back. You got to go to the Netflix this weekend. You got to go to Netflix and watch The Harlots and watch Bloodline. You got to go watch them this weekend. I've made it easy to make a meeting with me in person. Hit the website, lighthouseretirement.com, and on most pages you're going to find a blue button that reads, click to schedule your own meeting. Click the blue button, pick a day, pick a time. A few minutes later, you're going to get a confirmation email from me, directions to the office, a map to the office, a list of documents to consider bringing. I'm going to activate your Gemini private client portal for you. I'm going to send you the link to the onboarding process so you can put in your name and telephone number and kids' names and all that nonsense, and I don't have to waste my time doing it in our meeting. I can spend my time talking to you about things that are important to you. So we were talking about fixed income, and just about, I got about 15 minutes left in the show, and so just as I was headed into the studio, a client had called. And when I think of fixed income, I include annuities in that, because as I will tell you, as Stan the annuity man will tell you, you buy annuities for the guarantee. You don't buy them for what they might do. You buy them for the written guarantee. And so this client had come to me a few weeks ago, and he said, Marty, I really think I want to get rid of this annuity, and I really think I want to become a client. And I said, look, before you make that decision, you need to be fully informed. And the way that I do that at this firm is that I have, first thing that I do with you is look at your contract, and then we conference call in the annuity company, and on a recorded line where you agree to have the line recorded, we ask the annuity company all of the questions. We ask them to explain all of the riders. We ask them all of the questions, and then at the end we give you a chance to ask any additional questions, and then we document that call. So right smack dab in the middle of writing this show, where I'm writing a show about fixed income, about corporate bonds and municipal bonds and taxable municipal bonds, I get this phone call. And the guy says, well, I kind of think that I want to keep this annuity. And I said, well, that's fine. He says, I talked to the conservation department. And I said, that's fine. I'm glad you did that. And he says, Marty, they're guaranteeing me 6%, 6.5%. And I said, you know, Mark, you really need to think about that, because that's not what they told you. What they told you is that they're guaranteeing to credit the income base on one side of your contract, not the real money side, the make-believe money side. And then when you get to be, say, 65 years old, they're going to let you have 5% of whatever that pot of money has grown to. He says, but they're guaranteeing me 6%. I said, but they're only going to let you take out 5. So how do you ever get that 6%? He says, well, what other solution would there be? I said, look, I got to be real careful going down this road with you. I said, your contract is in the conservation department. The annuity company is going to do everything they can to talk you into keeping the annuity. And I said, look, you're falling under our new policy, which is we don't give a damn what you do with your annuity. You're the one that bought it. You're the one that signed the contract. You do whatever you want to do. All we can do is give you the basic data, give you the information so you can make an informed decision. If you don't have the mental capacity to make an informed decision, that's not our fault. If you think it turned out to be a bad idea, that's not our fault. Okay, because we're not going to babysit you guys anymore on these indexed annuities. We're just going to give you the facts, and whatever decision you make is cool with me. So he said, but I can take out 5% a year. I said, yeah, but that 5% that you ultimately get to take out for life, a large part of that, especially in the early years, is your own money back. And I just told you that in the instance of this other client where I priced her bond portfolio, she has been getting all of her interest, which has been about 7 or 8%. You probably can't replicate that today. She's been getting all of the interest payments she was promised and more than her principal is left. In other words, this 7 or 8 or 6.5, whatever percentage interest that she's been getting all along, that was not consuming her principal. Whereas this supposed 5%, 5.05% he's going to get from this annuity company is composed partly of principal and some interest. And that's why Ken Fisher is right. And that's a place where corporate bonds and corporate bonds and taxable municipals have a place. The analogy was like this. If you really are happy with something that looks like a 5% or 6% or a 7% return, if you really are telling me the truth and you're happy with that, the 5.05% that this client's going to get from American Equity is a component of which is principal and a component of it is interest. And it's being proportionately taken from both sides of the annuity, from the accumulation side, which is the side that he can pass on to his heirs if there's any left, as well as from the withdrawal side of the account. He says, so Marty, what do you think? I'll give each of you my opinion on a one-on-one basis. But it's very simple to me. And here's what I said to the client. I said, client, let's for the sake of argument, let's forget about the surrender charges. Let's forget about the fact that the accumulation value. Let's just look at the guaranteed side. I said, first of all, would you buy this indexed annuity again, based on what you know about this contract and based on the way it's performed for you since 2015? And he says, no, I would not buy it again. Okay, that's your decision. That's your choice. Somebody will, somebody might, but he said he would not. I said, what if you had today $100,000? What would you rather have? An investment like a corporate bond that was paying you 5 or 5.5 or 6% and not touching your principal? Or would you rather get a 5.05% return from the insurance company, of which a large part of that 5.05 was just your own money back? Because with these corporate bonds, assuming they whatever yield to maturity, yield to call, okay, whatever the current yield is when you buy it, that yield is being paid by the company, and you're not spending your principal. And as long as they don't go out of business, and as long as you didn't pay more than par, you're going to get par back, par being $100. Now, if you paid $102 for the bond and it matures, you're only going to get back $102. And if you know how to manage bonds, you'll know what to do with that. If you don't, well, that's what we're here for. Right? So I said to him, which would you prefer? Would you prefer to have your 5% paid to you via a return of premium or via an interest payment? That's where these corporate bonds come in. That's where they become useful in a portfolio. But I don't like the idea of an all or nothing strategy. When you look at a bond, when you look at a corporate bond, right, you have to examine the fact of where we are in the economic cycle, in the interest rate cycle, and where we are in what I call the modern age of investing. This is just not a good environment to be invested in fixed income. Fixed income is things like CDs and money markets, where you're going to make maybe 1%. And you're going to pay a portion of your money out in income taxes. This is not a good choice. And it's not a particularly good choice to buy a high-quality corporate or municipal bond. You go buy a good quality Florida Power or JEA bond, and you might get 2 or 2.5 or 3% for them because they're high-quality companies that don't need to pay a lot to borrow money. So you're not going to get paid a lot. But it might be a good time to buy parts of the economy that are sick. A company like Halliburton or Noble Energy or maybe Anadarko or maybe EOG or maybe dozens of other people in the energy sector who, if you looked at their industry now, you might say, well, these guys are all going out of the business. They're all going to be broke. Oil is surely going to $10 a barrel. And if that happens, they're probably all going to go out of business. But if that doesn't happen, and they're able to sustain their dividends and pay their or sustain their debt payments, satisfy their debt payments, and if things get better, then you can be in a position where you've made 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 or 10% or more total return. So it's that idea of capturing total return. If I had tried for this client to generate the kind of income that this client is presently taking out of her portfolio exclusively from fixed income and bonds, I would have failed. Or I would have had to tell her maybe that 4% a year really is all you can get. And so if you had a portfolio of $500,000 and you're taking out 4% a year, that's 20 grand a year. I can tell you that client can't live on that amount of money, or at least won't or doesn't want to. Where there's a place for these corporate bonds is different for each client, for these municipal bonds. But what I am trying to talk to you home gamers about is how complicated this industry is. But you have to listen to the things that people like Bill Gross and such as them will tell you. You have to look at what the economy's giving you and then take from that what you can. In the case of this fellow with the annuity, you just have to, you know, you have to belly up to the bar, look at the decision that you made, and decide whether that's a decision that you want to continue with. Maybe the guy will surrender that annuity and do something else. Maybe he'll bring that money to this firm, and maybe he won't. And I don't really care. I really don't care. But it's clear to me. It's crystal clear to me that the people that buy these products don't understand how. We had to go through three different people at American Equity to get someone that could explain how the withdrawal and the roll-up on these contracts work. If you have an interest in hashing through this, if you have an interest in comparing an indexed annuity payout versus a corporate bond or versus a dividend portfolio, I'm happy to talk to you. It's not an easy conversation. It's not a five-minute conversation. It takes a lot of time on my part. It takes a lot of effort on your part. And probably you're going to have to make some stinky decisions that you really don't want to make. But once you understand, at least you'll be able to make an intelligent decision. Look, you guys have a great weekend. Show's run kind of long. It was really ad-libbed. If it really wasn't that entertaining, go back and listen to part one. Maybe that'll get you fired up. To reach me in Jacksonville, the beach of St. Augustine, Orange Park, Middleburg, Amelia Island, Fleming Island, Daytona, the villages, and all of the surrounding areas, you guys can call me today or during the week at 904-234-8080-234-8080. Hit the website, lighthouseretirement.com. Most pages find a blue button. It says click to schedule your own meeting. Click it. Do it now before you forget. Click the blue button. You pick a day. You pick a time. And the meeting is all set. A little while later, as soon as I get back in the house from mowing the yard, I'm going to send you an email confirming the meeting, list of directions to the office, and we'll go from there. You guys have a great weekend. And I'll see you on Monday in the office.
I took a walk in the rain one day on the wrong side of the tracks. I stood on the rail till I saw that train just to see how my heart would react.